Okay, we're up to this week, what parsha are we learning this week? Parshas Ki Sisa. Parsha of the Egel. Now the truth is, there's a lot more than the Egel in this parsha. Ki Sisa is known for the Egel, but there's quite a bit of Yesodis here in the parsha. Let's begin with the Machsis HaShekel. We always like to start with something very beginning in the parsha. Kisisa, Rashi's pasuk begins, Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Lema, Kisisa. We like to translate the word Kisisa to count. When you will choose to count Esroish, Bnei Yisrael, the heads of the Jewish people, Lifku they have according to their number. So how should you go about, what should the process be? How do you count people? So the Torah teaches you never count an individual. Count them indirectly by counting coins. V'dasnu ish, each individual shall give koifer nafsho, the atonement of his neshama, la Hashem, bifkoy roisam, v'lo yiyenei bohem negev bifkoy roisam. Then it goes on to say how much you should give, a machsa shekel, he'oshu lo yarbe, v'ada lo yamit. We all know the psukim. Okay, when we translate at the beginning of the pasuk, kisisa, it means to count. But that's not really the way Rashi translates the pasuk. Rashi says, the very first Rashi, kisisa, l'shoin kabola. Okay, he seems to translate the word kisisa doesn't mean to count. It doesn't mean to lift up. And he's really borrowing from the Targum, because the Targum says kisikabel. And what does it mean, kisikabel? What does that mean? You're going to accept. What does the word sisa have to do with accept? So Rashi explains, kabbalah, kitargumai. And Rashi explains the general meaning of the pasuk. Kishetachpoitz lekabel sikum minyanam lodas kamehim al timonem legulgoles. When you want to receive the sum of their number to know how many there are, do not count them individually, do not count them by skull, but instead you shall count coins. So Rashi, we have to be very precise in explaining what Rashi over here means. That the word kisisa esroish b'nei Yisrael, he's translating in a very unusual way, it's not the Pshut Shel Mikra, is when you, the roish b'nei Yisrael means the sum, it means the total number, 1 + 1 = 2. When you want to know the number 2, you want to know 1 + 1 + 1 + 1, do it 10 times, the sum called 10, so that's called the Roish B'nei Yisrael. He's translating the word Roish as the skum, the sum. Kisis, if you want to receive, you want to be on the receiving end of the information, you're in the Pentagon, and you need to know what is the total number of souls we have out there in our country. Kisis, so you want to be on the receiving end to accept this total sum. This is how you should go about getting that information that you desire. And again, what is the information you desire, the skum? What do you do? Go and take from each individual a machtzis hashekel. Now I think here in this translation, there's a very powerful musr, a limud, a moral teaching in this expression. What do I mean to say? If you look very carefully at the Rashi, there are two, I want to break it down into two very different terms. There's something called the sikum minyanam, and there's something called the minyan. Two, like a brisk of art, tzvedinim. There's something called the minyan, the number, and there's something called the sikum minyanam. Rashi uses this vocabulary. There's nothing wrong from where I'm reading Rashi in knowing the sikum minyanam. There's no ayin hara, there's no negef, there's no, we are accustomed, we are brought up simply that it's not a good thing to know, to count people. It's not, when we have that halacha that it's not, you're not allowed to count people, we think about ayin hara, maybe just Hashem doesn't want us to count people. When we're looking for a minyan, we don't count how many people do we have, 1, 2, 3, 4, we say a pasuk, ha-yishia es-samecha, berechas nach-lasecha. When you count, make a census, you have to count coins. David HaMelech, he made the big mistake. He counted people. He did not count them in a proper way. You're not allowed to count individuals. not counting means you're not allowed to count individuals, and you're not allowed to count to have the total number. You're not allowed to say we have 10 Jews in the room. You don't want to say that. Because that's counting. You have to say we have 10 animals. Right? Sounds much better. We don't have 10 Jews, we have 10 animals. We have $10. Everyone gives a machzor shekel, we have $5. So through telling we have $5, we know that 10 people gave 50 cents. We have 10 animals. Ah, that means each animal has a person. I believe that's incorrect. There is absolutely nothing wrong in knowing the skum minyanon. There is no ayin hara. I'm saying a chiddush, and what I'm saying is not necessarily correct. I'm trying to make this suggestion, prove it to you. There is absolutely...
They do, but
Hashem gives the totals. Hashem gives the totals. And maybe when it says the totals, it refers to... you bring your support to what I'm trying to say. I'm trying to suggest is there is absolutely, this is contrary to common belief, there is absolutely nothing wrong in knowing the total. There's no ayin hara. There's no avera. There's no Kabbalistic issue. There's nothing wrong in knowing the total sum of souls there are in a room, in a tzibor, in a community, in a shevet, in Klal Yisrael. What's the problem? The problem is the Torah demands don't ever look at a group, a tzibor, as a collection of individuals. Look at a tzibor as the sum of the parts. Don't look at Klal Yisrael as just a collection of people who have come together to achieve a common goal. The sum is greater than the parts. All of the individuals, they come together, they create a total, and the total is there's nothing to do with the individuals. The koyach of the tzibur, the power of the group, is a world apart. It's not just a collection of people. Again, the sum is greater than the parts. It's a whole new league. But there's a very big problem. In order for you to get to the sum, to get to that critical mass, that sibur, that chashivas of the group, the only way you can get there is by going through the individuals. And that creates a very great danger. That if the only way we're going to create a tzibur, a group, a total sum, which a total sum, is by looking at the individuals, you can very easily be misguided, misled to believe that the chashivos of the sum is nothing more than the collecting a group of individuals. That is the danger. So look, here have the terms. Let me read you the Rashi. Kishetachboitz lekabel skum minyanam. There is nothing wrong whatsoever with what we call the skum minyanam. And when you want to be on the receiving end of knowing the skum minyanam, lodas kamehem, you got a problem. The problem is the only way to get there is to go through the individuals. But Hashem does not want you to be misled to believe that individuals have any chashivas by themselves. Therefore, al timonim la gulgoyles, don't count them as individuals. That's dangerous. Don't give chashivas to individuals. Because when you're going to get to the sum, don't be misguided. The thing is just a collection of a lot of people together. The total, the sum is greater than the parts. And therefore, the technique you're going to do is you're going to count objects. And not only are you going to count objects, you're going to count objects that are incomplete, chatzoim, to protect you from the poison of thinking that individuals, single units, is all that counts. You're going to count yidnu kol echad machtzis hashekel lehef, v'timoneh es hashekolim, and now v'teda minyanam, now you'll know. Really, according to what I'm saying, you should say the skum minyanam. You'll automatically know the minyanam. You'll know the total sum. But what I'm basically trying to say is there are two dinim in Klal Yisrael. There are yechidim, and then there is the total sum. the sum is greater than the parts. There is no harm in the sum, the skumin yanam. The danger is, don't look at Klal Yisrael as just a collection of individuals. Our power is only when there's achdus, the aguda achas, agudosay al eretz yosla. We said today, this is the true koyach of Klal Yisrael. Okay, now let's go to another idea. Shamino, that is when you're doing the individuals. When you're going through the individuals to get to the skum, that's the danger. If you count the individuals, you're putting yourself in a very great danger. Because what's the Marasayan? The Marasayan is thinking that a tzibur is nothing more than 10 individuals. You have a minyan to daven shachris. So unfortunately, that's really everyone. What are you davening for? I'm davening for myself, and you're davening for yourself, and you're davening for your grandchildren, and he's davening for his grandchildren, he's davening for his parents. Everyone in the room, you have 10 people, million, we need a 10th man. You go out into the street and you pull the bus driver out of the bus. Are you Jewish? And you pull him off the city bus. Forget about your passengers. Come into shul and help us with the minyan. And what happens? You defeat the whole purpose. You have 10 people, very good. And everyone here is davening b'yichidus. Everyone is selfish. Everyone is davening for themselves. Ask them, what are you davening for? It's none of your business what I'm davening for. What are you davening for? None of your business. If that's the attitude, sometimes it has to be like that. It is none of your business, but still in all, if the attitude is everyone is davening as an individual, they're not joining force to daven as a team, then...
That's what the Eretz Yisrael wants. You're supposed to daven. I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
You have to have... It's a balance of both. It's a balance of both. Everyone has their own private needs.
Obviously, you have a certain need that he doesn't have.
But your private need is only secondary to davening as a group to achieve a communal, a group purpose. There's no
we're
talking
all
about yet.
Yes, for our own needs, so each one's need will be more listened to by Hashem.
Provided that I'm also davening for your needs. When I say Rifa'enu, and I'm only thinking about myself, and I couldn't care less about your health issues, so that's not called davening, but tzibur. You have if everyone in the room has a health issue, and everyone is davening for their own private health issue, and I couldn't care less about your health issues. So first of all, that's not the nusach tefillah, it's blushing rabbin. That is not called a davening. You might as well go home and everyone daven privately. The purpose of coming together is we're all davening for each other. In addition to all davening for each other, you know, I have personal needs also that are not shaykh to you. But the purpose of davening together is not just to be selfish. I need you to be in the room. I need you to be in the room so I can serve myself. I couldn't care less about you. I really couldn't care less. I don't even want to know about your problems or your needs. I really could not care less about the other 9 people in the room. So why do I come over here into this room with the other 9 people? Because they taught me in yeshiva that the only way I'll be able to achieve success for myself and spit on everyone else is if there are 10 people in the room. So very good. I have now another 9 people. I was moisa nevesh. I even pay people to come be part of this minyan. I don't give a hoot about these people. I just need your bodies to be here because it's magic. It's magic having 10 people in the room. Now I'm going to daven for purely selfish motives. I'm going to daven that I should prevail and lord upon you and you should buy my product and I should take all your money and I should be the king of all the other 9 people. That's unfortunately the way it goes on in this world, most of the time when you daven. That defeats the entire purpose of davening. When you're davening with 10 people, you're all davening for each other. You're all in it together. Everyone here is one part. If your leg hurts, my leg hurts. Okay? It's not your problem, it's my problem. If you don't feel well, I don't feel well. It's my problem. There has to be a communal sense of obligation for someone else's problems. Imo anochi b'tzara. I call this orim zel lazeh. So it's not just, I need your body. I need your body to be in this synagogue so now I can be selfish. I need you to be here so I can daven for you. If you're here in the room, I'm going to daven for you. And if you're going to daven for me, and we're going to daven as a group, we're going to come together as a team to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that we're one collective group that has issues and needs help. And we're all davening for each other. That's the purpose. There's nothing wrong with that. That's the goal. That's what's called the skum minyanon. But the problem is to get there, I have to count. Do we have a minyan? There's a you, and there's a you, and there's a you, and there's a you, and there's a you. There are 10 individuals. What's your problem today? You have this problem? What's your problem? What's your problem? What's your problem? Oh, we got 10 people with 10 problems. You know something? I got a headache already from hearing about people's problems. I don't want to know from your problem. Leave me alone. So there's a danger. There's a danger when you're going to get to that critical mass, the Sekum Minyanim. The only way to get there is to go through the Yechidim. The problem is when you get to number 10, you may just stop with the 10 Yechidim. You may forget to put all the pieces back together and make it into one. That's the danger. The danger is getting there. Getting there, don't count, don't look at it, the Yechidim. Do it indirectly. And even when you do it indirectly, remind yourself, each fellow here is just a half. He's just part of a greater, he's just a portion of a greater sum, of a greater group of people. But when you get to the sum, there's nothing wrong with that. Adarabba, the Sekum Minyanim is beautiful. It's beautiful to know we have 10 people here. It's a group. But don't count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. That's the danger. So it's very meduik the words of Rashi. Kisisa, if you want, and you are entitled to want, to reach Esroish B'nai Yishol, to reach or have a group. But the way you're going to get there is going not to get to the Sekum Minyanim, which is beautiful, which is desirable, to know the Sekum, to know the power of the Tzibur. But to get there, you got to go through the steps. Ooh, you're going in very dangerous territory. Only travel with an armed guard. You want to get to a good destination, and you have to pass through a bad neighborhood. You got a problem. You need an armed bus. You need to be escorted by security. What's the security? The security is, don't count the people, count objects. Even the objects, they should be half objects. To remind you, don't get swept up in selfish personal needs. Okay, let's go to the next idea. Next idea is, what are we going to count? It's a very interesting Rashi. I want to say a little bit of a vart. It says, Zeh Yidnu, how much do you give? Kol Ever Al-Pikudi Machatzis HaShekel B'Shekel HaKodesh. Why does the Pasuk say the word, every soul? Why does it say that every soul shall give, let me go back to the Pasuk before, V'nasnu ish koifer nafshoi, the atonement of his neshama. This shekel hakoidesh, the machsa shekel b'shekel hakoidesh, is coming to atone for your neshama. What is your neshama? What is that? I don't know. It's something which is not tangible. We really have no understanding, but it's spiritual. And what are you going to give to atone for your neshama in this process of collecting machsa shekel? You're going to give a shekel hakoidesh. Rashi, machsa shekel b'shekel hakoidesh, the Mishkol HaShekel, Shekotzavti L'chol Lishkol Boy, Shikle Kodesh. We're going to borrow from other parashiyos in the Torah. Where else in the Torah do we find a need to use a Shekel HaKodesh? Only two other places. B'chol HaTorah Kulo. And what are they? Arochin. What is Arochin? When you give the value of your body. How much are you worth? In America, a human being was born, a baby born today in America is worth how much? $7 million. Every newborn citizen that is born in this country is worth $7 million to this country. Okay, you go to the hospital, every baby that's born in the hospital is worth $7 million to the government. Why do they need that number? They need that number for statistics, for the economy, to know how much to invest, how much it's kedai to invest in providing services, programs, building roads, bridges, sending people to the moon. They need to know. They need to know for many, many reasons. The Pentagon needs to know. Every agency in this country, when they do, the actuaries, when they do all of their calculations in dealing with the budget and dealing with the deficit and dealing with all of the various things, they need to know how much worth is their potential for a human being to provide for this country. You grow up, you get a job, you're going to make income, you're going to earn money, you're going to pay taxes. How much tax does the average person in this country pay? How much benefit do you give the country in terms of dollars and cents? There's something to it. There's a lot of chokhmah, economics, a lot of chokhmah to know how much value a person is worth to their country. $7 million, go Google it. Google Hadar will tell you it's $7 million, the last that I heard. What? Go talk to, go Google it. Go ask the Pentagon what it means. I don't know what it means. The Pentagon needs a number. They need a number, and not only the Pentagon, every agency when dealing with the economy needs to know the value of a citizen in the country. In dollars and cents. In dollars and cents. Is it kedai to go to war? What are we going to war for? What are we going to gain? We're going to lower the price of oil? Why do we want to lower the price of oil? What is that going to do for the country? Well, every person is only worth $7 million. There's a lot of economics in dealing with all of these issues. So the Torah was way ahead of its time. And the Torah already told you how much a person is worth. And the Torah made a different valuation for every age group. If you're under 30 days old until you're 5 years old, you're worth this. From 5 years old until you're 20, you're worth this. If you're a boy, you're worth this. A girl, you're worth this. If you're 20 to 60, you're worth this. And then when you get old, then women are worth more than men, almost. The proportion of women being, everything has dollar cents.
That's only a fraction of $7 million.
Whatever it means, but the Torah already gave. Maybe their numbers in America are a little bit off. Whatever it means, but the Torah already way ahead of its game. Was way ahead of the time, already gave every living human being in Klal Yisrael a value in dollars and cents, called an Erech value. And the Torah also, if you want to be a slave, that's another halacha. If you want to sell yourself on the market as a slave, there's another halacha, there's another value, whatever that value is. Haman, this is the parasha, Haman gave Achashverosh as 10 talents of silver. He paid the machs. He paid their value. The whole sugyu. How much exactly he paid? He basically went to the Pentagon. How much are the Jews worth? How much in dollars and cents are they worth to the country? How much tax revenue do they contribute? If we'll wipe out these Jews from the country, the mefuzar umefurad bein huamim. You have three Jews living in this community, and a few. So what's the big deal? So you go and you kill all the Jews. He takes. What are not causing any harm to the country? Well, you're going to lose some tax revenue. So I'll pay the tax revenue. I'll pay you for your losses. How much are they worth to the country? 10 talents of silver. Here you go, Achashverosh. Here is going to be the loss of revenue to your country. Achashverosh says, keep the money. I don't need your money. I'll pay it for myself. Okay, it's all about money. Alts is geld. It's all everything is about money. So the Torah was way ahead. Now, when the Torah tells you you're going to atone for your soul with money, here you're dealing with a spiritual matter, your neshama. You're counting people. This is not no gear dollars and cents. I'm counting people. We're counting people, making a census. So now you have to atone. How much you give? A machzor shekel. Just give a token donation, just so that we can count you. And the money you're going to give should be with shiklei kodesh. Shiklei kodesh. I'll give a quarter. I'll give American dollars. I'll give American coins. I'll give Israeli coins. I'll give Greek coins. Shiklei kodesh. Why does the Torah demand that when we take a census, you should use the currency of kodesh? Why? What's the purpose? This doesn't seem like there's any reason whatsoever why it has to be shiklei kodesh. Well, we have to compare it to shiklei kodesh. What's the pasuk telling us this for? And what are shiklei kodesh? There are two examples. There is the erech value, which I just finished describing, and then there is this stei achuza. And that is a person. The Torah used the shkolim by a stei achuza, the person has ancestral property, holy land. You come into Eretz Yisrael, and you're given a plot of land. Alpi Agoyrol, the Eretz Yisrael, the beginning of Ma'aseh Bereishis, the land was meant to be divided by the Jewish people. In Ma'aseh Bereishis, the Hashem promised the land to the Jews, and each of the land was divided into 12 portions, 12, 13 portions, and then it was divided by family, and every single person who came into Eretz Yisrael was given a piece of land called his Sedei Achuza. And as time passed on, there were people that were desperate, and they sold their land. They relinquished their land. They traded it in for money. And the halacha is, yovel, they get it back. If they want to buy it back early, there's a whole procedure. There's a whole system of how you can purchase the land back. And the land is evaluated. And the way the Torah defines the value of the land is with shekalim. And shiklei kodesh. Shiklei kodesh. So here Rashi tells us something very, very fascinating. That here, when you're counting people, And you have to atone, you have to make sure there's no ayin hara, and you have to use shiklei kodesh. Shiklei kodesh, Rashi says, just like the shiklei kodesh of arochin and the shiklei kodesh of the stay achusa. What is Rashi coming to teach us? What is arochin? Arochin means how much is your body worth? How much are your lungs worth? How much is your liver? How much are your kidneys? How much are your legs, arms? Your physical body. Okay, how much is it? What are you worth? What are you worth in dollars and cents? Your body. How much is your land worth? Your mokoim, your place on this earth. These two examples represent man's physical existence in this world. Your body, your erech value, and your location. Every Jew has a physical location that is his. He calls his own. Hashem gave the land to the Jews. It went to his great-great-great-grandfather all the way back in time of they came into Eretz Yisrael. I am a descendant. This is the mokoim on this earth that God gave me. I have a physical location on this earth that God gave me from the time of Ma'aseh Bereishis. And that is defined in dollars and cents with shkolim in the Torah. My body is also defined with shkolim. Now here's the chiddush. A person can make a mistake and think that, you know, your neshama, ha'iluchud v'ha'iluchud. It's a very dangerous, extreme religious approach. This, a fundamentalist can go, can say, this world is nothing. It's garbage. There's the physical body, my body, I live in a home. I'm a spiritual creature. I'm going to live out in the desert. I'm only here in this world to serve Hashem. I'm not here to focus on the physical reality of this world. The Torah here is saying something very, very deep. You have a neshama. You have a neshama. Your neshama needs atonement. Don't go to the extreme and ignore your body. Don't ignore the earth. Don't ignore, don't abuse the earth. Don't abuse your body. Global warming. I don't know if it exists or doesn't exist. But don't abuse the earth. Don't contaminate this land. Don't destroy the world. Don't destroy your body. Your neshama is a chelek of your guf and your mokim on this world. But I'm telling you to be mechaper for your neshama. The object that I'm telling you to use should ring a bell, should trigger in you a recognition. You're using shikle kodesh for your neshama. It's the same shekel hakodesh that represents your physical body, your erich value, and your stay achuza, your location, your address on this earth, in this world. To teach you, your neshama is only as good as the sanctity that you infuse in your body and in your mokom. If your body is contaminated, you contaminate your body either physically or spiritually. You do things to harm your body physically or spiritually. If you contaminate, you allow your earth, your mokum, your bayis to be contaminated physically or spiritually, then your neshama, your pure spiritual essence is also contaminated, is also damaged. If you maintain the purity of, just like we understand that your neshama is cool, pure, it's spiritual, it's a two-way street. That's what Judaism is all about. It's to be mekadesh atzmoy b'mutaloch. It's to take kedusha and to use the kedusha to take your neshama and for your neshama to have influence over the physical world, the guf, which includes your taivos of achila, taivos of kovod, taivos for noshim, to do it in a way that is according to the Torah and the mokim v'hoya machanecha kodosh. The machane, your street, your body, your home has to be with dignity. It's toloi ze bezeh. the religious fundamentalists in this world, in all groups, whether it's Christians, whether it's Muslims, whether it's Jews, you always see they make this mistake, is where they ignore, they push away the physical to an extreme. Who cares about this world? Who cares about my body? Just, I'm going to heaven anyway for the 70 virgins. So who cares about blowing up and destroying my body? Who cares about this world? My body, I'll blow it up to smithereens. My body is not part of the program. The earth, I'll live in the desert. I'll go live on the street. Who cares? I'm just going to do things for God, for Allah. This, and unfortunately, this attitude has crept into Yadus to a certain extreme among certain elements of extremism. This is a toss. This is connected to Kolat Arukula. It's clear as day. Kolat Arukula is to live in a life of Kedusha. To live with your body as long as possible. Like they said, Lahavil Elif Alfa Avdolos by Bush's funeral. To die young as late as possible. Okay, is that a Yiddish expression? To die young as late as possible. It sounds very profound, very good. But it could possibly be that it's apikursis. They have to debate this. A very good debate. A very good time to debate. Why? The Avraham Zokain Boba Yomim. Chazal said there's something about to die old as late as possible. Right?
The old people shouldn't be born.
Interesting. I hear what you're saying. The old people should not be born.
No, young people.
No, old people. Old people. It's a very deep idea. Okay, so something very interesting topic to talk about. It's a very profound statement. There's truth to it. Of course there's truth to it. But there's another element that you have to understand that Chazal, they said, Chashivus and Zikna. There is a Chashivus of the Avram Zokain Boba Yamin. Zeshakona Chachma. There's something to Zikna. Okay, there's something to not that. But this is a very, I think a very, Rashi here is telling, we have a pasuk, you're giving koifer nafshoi. What is the koifer nafshoi? The shekel hakoidesh. What is the shekel hakoidesh doing here? Mandikar shnei. Rashi. B'mishkol ha-shekel shekotzavti l'chol l'shkol boi shikli hakoidesh. Kigoin. Shkolim ha-mur m'parshas arochim. What is arochim? How much is your body worth? Your goof worth? Your land, your territory, gashmius. That's what you need to be mechaper on your neshama. Don't separate the two. You can't. They're not. They're inseparable. These elements. Okay, let's go to another idea. Okay, let's talk a little bit about the eagle. In this week's parasha, we learn about the eagle. Okay, I want to say a little bit of a chiddush here about the eagle. How did they make the eagle? What is the eagle? The eagle represents the ultimate form of idolatry. You have an object, and you bow down to the object. Right? You have an object, the eagle hazof. A calf, a golden calf. Wow, how they do this? Miracle, they have a golden calf, and they're dancing around the eagle hazof, and they're bowing down to it, and they're saying, Eile Elohecha Yisrael. This is your God. This is the God. Avodah Zarah. How do you make an Avodah Zarah? This is the prototype, right? Isn't this it? Everything that we learned in Nach, we spent so many years learning Nach. Avodah Zarah, Avodah Zarah, Avodah Zarah. Did I forget to mention Avodah Zarah? We have over here in Tanakh all of the idolatry, all of the sins of the Jewish people worshipping idols. Okay, very good. So let's learn about idolatry. Tell me, how do you make one? Let's get serious now. How do you make an Avodah Zarah? Please, teach me.
YouTube.
Idolatry 101. YouTube. So go to YouTube and then how do you? You know, let's do it. Let's figure it out.
You want to hear what's on
top? L'shem Yichud. So this is the prototype. This is it. This is Model T. This is the Makar. So obviously, if we go and we study here the way they made this idol, we can use it as a model for all Avodah Zarah that mankind will invent throughout history. And we'll be able, what's the advantage of knowing how to make an Avodah Zarah? We will be able to identify from a mile away, this is idolatry. In other words, if we don't know how to make it, then we don't know how to test for authenticity. Many times we have situations, we have people, very charismatic people, who come, who rise up, and they say, trust me, trust me. I know what I'm talking about. I have a communication with God. Oh, I am God. Okay? Whatever this is. Oh, really? You're God? Maybe you're an idol. So we need a technique. We need some scientific method, technique, to test. Okay, you claim to be a God. We want to do a test. We'll send you to the laboratory for testing. And we'll have results. We will believe in you. If the results come out and they fail, then we're not going to believe in you. What is the method? What is the technique to test if something is truly a God or it's a phony? It's a fake. It's not authentic. It's an avodah zarah. And thus, practically speaking, stay far, far away. This fellow is a fraud. He's claiming to represent the Ribbono Shel Olam. He's claiming to represent this, that. He is a phony, a fraud. Stay far, far away. How do we test for how do we validate authenticity in objects of religion? Avodah Zarah, not Avodah Zarah. So this is the prototype. We have to go to the prototype. And what does it say here about the first Avodah Zarah that came off the assembly line? It tells us in very great detail how they made it. Okay, there are a lot of details even to discuss what they did, but let's just focus on one prat. I just want to focus on one single prat. It says they took the earrings, which in itself is a whole of discussion. The men took off their earrings. Okay, they wore earrings those days. Men clearly wore earrings. Okay, they wore earrings. Men wore earrings, both ears. Says, Asher bi oznehem, vayuviu al Aaron, they gave Aaron the earrings. All the gold came from the earrings. Amazing, nothing else. Doesn't say they took gold from their pots and pans, their leichter, their chandelier, their gold watch. No one gave over their chosen watch for the ego. No chosen watches were donated. Earrings, golden earrings that were worn by men. Vayikach miyadam, and here is where we're making now the first idol. Vayotzar oisoy bacheret. Three words describe the prototype. What do these three words mean? Rashi gives us two translations for these three words. The first translation, Rashi says, vayotzar means to tie, to make a knot. You take an cheret, means a shmata, a suda. He took off his jacket, Aaron took off his jacket, and he opened up his jacket, he took off a shmata, throw all the rings in the jacket, throw all the rings, here, put all the rings. After everyone piled in gold rings, he took the jacket, the shmata, and he collected the material, and on the top, he took off his tie, and he tied it nice and tight. He took a rope, and he tied it. I have now a peckle of gold earrings, and it doesn't tell us what happened next. It seemed that we have to come on to Midrashim. Well, it's not even important what happened next. Torah doesn't tell us. He took this peckle, this big satchel of gold earrings, he brought it to a goldsmith. They had a big pot, big pot. They poured in all the gold earrings, they put on a big fire, and Rashi says they put in a magic plate that Moshe Rabbeinu used to retrieve the Oroin of Yosef. They put it in. It said, Ale Shur, may the ox ascend. And came out a baby ox. In Egel, a baby ox came out. That part is not even in the Pasuk. That part is in the Medrash. All it says about making the idol is Vayotzar. He tied also the collective noun. He tied all of the earrings, bacheret in a shmata. And Vayet say, then we have to go to the Midrashim. They brought it to a smith. They poured it into a pot, put on the fire, melted it down. They put in a metal plate. It said, ax aleshur, and a calf comes out. Rashi's second interpretation, It says Vayotzar means to etch. Bacheret is a special implement, a tool that artisans use to shape hot, molten metal. So the whole beginning of the story doesn't tell us. They collected the earrings. We don't even know how they were. They all threw them into a big pot. They turned on the fire. And then they had a big mass of hot gold. And I assume they let it harden a little bit. And as it began to harden, they began to chisel away with their utensils the shape of the ox. It wasn't a magical ox. It was shaped by human beings. It was human beings. You take a chisel and they shaped it. Let me just read you the basic words of this Rashi. Vayotzar oisei bacheret, yesh letar gemoy b'shnei ponim. There are two translations. Number one is echad vayotzar loshon kishira, to tie. Bacheret l'shoin sudar, a handkerchief. And he brings psukit. Vayotzar, then he goes on to, and that basically means he tied up all of the gold earrings in one big handkerchief in preparation for melting it down and producing an idol. The habez, the second interpretation, vayotzar loshon tsura, an image. Cheret is a kli umnis, it's a special utensil. Hatsarfin of the tsarfin. That's the name of the company in the Eretz Yisrael. They sell the Leichter, right? The Leichter is called Hatzarfin. They have a branch of Bar Parkos. What's called Hatzarfin? Hatzarfin, right? They're right here in this week's parasha. They're the ones who made the eagle. You know we're good. You should buy a Leichter from us. Look, we made the eagle. They were dancing. Look, Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael, we're dancing around our eagle. So, if we're good enough for Klal Yisrael, we're good enough that you should buy a laughter from us also. Doesn't it say that over here? Boy, they would kill me for saying that, right? Shep. Umnim umnos hatzarfin. Show this Rashi. To go into the store then, show them this Rashi and say, what kind of... do you sell the eagle here? I'm looking to buy an eagle. Chassid shashkach. Hatzarfin shechartzin v'chartin boy, they etch... I don't know what these words mean. It means they etch and they chisel. They manipulate this tool in a sophisticated way to bring out the form of whatever you want. Whatever you want. The customer is always right. Whatever the customer wants. You want a monkey, we'll give you a monkey. You want an eagle, we'll give you an eagle. It was man-made. Tzubetzuris bazahav ke'et ha-sofer. Like the pen of the quill of a scribe. Ha-choreit oisiois beluchois. Like he chisels, he forms letters, whatever. Beluchos, I think the Arabic pinkas means a wax tablets. On a wax tablet, you etch out the wax, so you're left with the letters. That's going into a little more detail than we need for our purpose. Okay, but the point I want to make over here is this is the way two interpretations, and this is how they made the ego. And I believe Aderach Drush is teaching the Yisoid how to watch out for phonies. There are two. The first interpretation. What does it mean when you take a suda? You take gold rings, and you close it up and you tie it up. Suppression. To suppress. The way you make an idol. You know how you make an idol. Torah tells us this. The Torah is telling us this, and it's not telling us they melted it. It's not telling us they put in the plate of gold and it came out. It's telling us only one. Very small element, very small part of the process. There are 100 things you have to do to make a golden calf. You have to do a fundraising campaign. You have to have a guest of honor. Right? You have to have a guest of honor, send out letters, an announcement. You have to hire a printer, a designer. You know what goes on to fundraising? What a nightmare it is to fundraising. The only thing it says here about making the egel is... they took all the gold earrings, they put it in a satchel, and they tied it up. What do you do when you tie something up? What do? You conceal it. You contain it. You suppress. I have here gold. I have here money. I have here something that's on your ears, which I want, maybe we should look a little bit further. The ears, the reason why the ears they wore earrings, Chazal say, was because these ears heard Hashem say, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. For us, it's very hard to understand this. Okay, today an earring means you're, unfortunately, have issues. A man wears an earring. That's big issues. But at the time of Matan Torah, those ears heard Hashem say, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. They took those ears and they decorated them with the most valuable asset in the world, gold. As a way, wow, we were out, these physical ears were zoicha to the bracha to hear Anochi Hashem Elokecha. We heard. The ear is the koich of shmia. You know what avodah zarah is? When you take information that a person knows to be true and you suppress it. I'm taking those ornaments that took pride in hearing Hashem say, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. No, you didn't hear it. You never heard it. You're imagining. You're imagining what you've heard is to be true. Suppression of information is avodah zarah. What else is avodah zarah? Not suppressing anything. Not suppressing. I'm just going to etch into your religion a new knetch. I'm going to take the cheret, the implement that a designer uses, and I'm just going to take what you have and just give another knetch. Stick it into the gold and into what do you already have. You have a beautiful religion. Let's just change a little bit. Let's add this decoration and move this here, move that there. That is avodah zarah. Avodah zarah is not someone comes along and creates something new. This never existed. And now, for the very first time, I'm inventing a new religion. Avodah Zarah is much, much more subtle. Bal Toisef u'bal Tigra. Matan Torah, we heard, the ears heard, Taryag Mitzvahs, Aseres HaDibros, which we know includes within it the Kol Torah Kula. The ears heard this beautiful information. We took those earrings, someone comes along, takes the earrings, which represent what you've heard, and he snatches it away and locks it up. He puts it in a satchel, in a shmata, and takes a rope and ties it shut to suppress what is true. Someone comes along and says, Rabbeisai, you're doing this mitzvah. You're involved in this. It's not the ikur. It's not the ikur. We have to have a different ideology, a different philosophy, a different approach to life. In your life, you're focusing that the ikur is Talmud Torah. It's not the ikur. Talmud Torah is not the ikur. Let's adapt a new philosophy in life, a new approach to life, where we're going to do it this way. It's true. Torah is chashuv. It's very... When you begin to suppress what is accepted to be correct, true, you're dealing with what we already have, and you begin suppressing elements of what we already have, that is avodah zarah. Or Perush Beis and Rashi, you know what avodah zarah is? I'm not suppressing anything. I just want to embellish it a little bit more. Let's embellish the religion. Have another Yom Tov. Or have another, I don't have to give examples. I go through all the religions, all the phonies, all in the world, and all the different attempts to deviate from what we know to be true, what we know to be acceptable. That's avodah zarah, and that leads to obviously very great korban. Avodah zarah. The point for me, avodah zarah is not new. Avodah zarah is what you have. We have a tradition. The Matan Torah, to change deviation of the Mesorah, that is avodah zarah. And deviation comes in one of two ways, suppression and embellishment. We're not destroying it. We're not adding. We're embellishing or we're suppressing. It's a very, very dangerous game. Sometimes, obviously, there are things that we do. I mean, everything, obviously, these are things that are not way, way over our head. But generally, it's always been true that people have come along and tried to suppress elements of Yadus or embellish elements of Yadus are always suspect. What are you trying to do here? Maybe you're right. Maybe times have changed and the Torah allows for adaptation, embellishment, or suppression. Maybe, yeah. There are things that we do know that have been embellished, have been suppressed. Okay, but that's not for the average person to decide. Okay, that's something which is a little bit way over our head. But it's always been a fact that people who are coming, they're not trying to sell you a new religion or convert to Catholicism, convert to Islam. Come, we'll baptize you. We're not dealing with Jews for Jay here. Okay, we're dealing over here within the religion itself, Torah true Jews, who go a little bit far in suppressing elements of our tradition or embellishing all within the framework of we're Orthodox Jews. Where does this take us? Where will it lead us down the road? They are always suspect of where it goes. How did Reform Judaism begin? Very simple. There's no longer a need to say Yukum Purkim in Shemaya. There's no longer a need. It's in Aramaic. No one knows what the words mean. Why do you have to say every Shabbos Yukum Purkim in Shemaya? Who needs to say this anymore? We have much more beautiful expressions. Suppress Aminag Yisrael. Where did that lead them? Unfortunately, many of these Jews are no longer married to Jews. Many of these Jews, Rahman al-Islam, they're long gone. Little things, little elements of suppression, little elements of embellishment. What's so big to have a microphone in the shul? What's so terrible? Well, one thing leads to the next. Microphone, you know, there's halachic possibilities that it can be permitted. Okay, but unfortunately, the people who have been very, very fond of having microphones, where did that lead them? Well, who needs the mechitza? And why can't you drive to Shul on Shabbos? All for the ultimate good of coming to Shul on Shabbos. And where does that lead them? Unfortunately, today, a lot of these Jews, Rachman Litzlan, we hope they come back. It's just a matter of embellishment versus suppression. It's this is what the Torah says is Avodah Zarah. Okay, let's go to another quick Vart. I saw this is an amazing, amazing Vart. I'm going to go very quickly because I'm running out of time. In the Sefer V'tar Liben, I'll elaborate upon it a little more and go very, very fast. He says something that is really, it is super duper brilliant and it is novel, something you never heard about, and it really changed, at least had a very big effect on changed my whole outlook on Matan Torah and the Yontif of Purim and in general the whole approach to Klal Yisrael. He asks a very basic question. The one he asks the question is really the Maral is the question. It's the Maral's question, and it's a very basic question. Klal Yisrael and Matan Torah were considered to be Gerim, converts. Right? Before we learn out all of the laws of conversion from Matan Torah. And we're all Gerim. Ki Gerim Hayisim Yeretz Mitzrayim, how do we convert? We accepted the Torah, Bris Milah, and Tzvilah B'mikvah. All of these elements were present. Going Kriyas Yam, Suf Chazal tell us, going into the Yam was basically going Mikvah. Matan Torah was Kabbalah Samitzvahs, and Bris Milah was the current Pesach, Kol Orel Lo Yoichal Boy. So Chazal very, very openly tell us that the process of Yitzias Mitzrayim and Matan Torah is a process of conversion. It's a very big problem. When we came to receive the mitzvah, Hashem took the mountain from underneath us from and put it over our heads and said, Rabbi Yisai, you don't have a choice. If you don't accept the Torah, you're going to die right here and now. You're going to die. Now, if you go to a ger, and you go to a person and you say, you put a weapon to his head, if you don't convert, I pull the trigger. So we're going to Beis Din now, and we're going to convert you into a Jew. And you're going to tell the Beis Din, I'm going to keep the weapon at your head the entire process. And Beis Din is going to ask you, do you accept upon yourself all the mitzvahs? And you're going to say yes, because if you say no, I pull the trigger. And you're going to go into the mikvah, and we're going to do a bris milah, first bris milah, and then you're going to accept the mitzvah, and we're going to the mikvah, and the weapon will be pointed at your head every moment of the time, every moment. And you're going to become a Jew. Congratulations, Mazel Tov. Is this fellow a Jew? It's a joke. He's not a Jew. He was forced. I put a weapon to his head. He's not a Jew. It's a joke. So how can Chazal tell us that the source for Mafrika, for Gerus, is Matan Torah when the Jews were forced to become Jews? It's true. They said, Naseh v'nishma in the beginning. But halacha l'maisa, when it came to Matan Torah, what happened? Hashem said to them, don't think of changing your mind now. You change your mind, I'm going to kill you. You're all going to die right here and now. Shom tehei kivurasim. What is going on? What is going on? So the Maral really asks and answers this question. Basically what he says is, you know why this was necessary? This is a shocking thing. This is an incredible chiddush. Do you know why this was necessary for our Gerus at Har Sinai to be an incomplete Gerus? It's not a complete Gerus. It's a problem. You know why it was necessary? Because there's a halacha. You know what the halacha is? Ger sheniskayer kikoton shenoy la'adomi. A ger that converts is a child. Ger sheniskayer kikoton shenoy la'adomi is like you're not related to your relatives. Technically speaking, if a child and a mother convert, the child can marry his mother, according to Torah law. It's a fact. You can marry a sister, you can marry an aunt. A ger sheniskaya, you are not related to your blood relatives. This is the halacha. Now here's the chiddush, an awesome chiddush. When Klal Yisrael converted, there's a very big problem if they would do a full conversion, and they would do it willingly. They would just do Naseh v'nishma, that's it, and do it willingly. You know what that would mean? They would not be related to their relatives, not even to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. We wouldn't be able to say every single day, three times a day, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Velokei Yaakov. Ger, hear this chiddush? This is a shocking thing, I'm telling you. Not my part. This is where the Tayr Libenu says. It's a shocking thing, I'm telling you. If we would have converted Matan Torah with will, Naseh v'nishma, and Hashem would not force us, then we would have the status Ger sheniskaya, kikoton shenoy ladami. We're not related to each other. We're not related to each other. I'm not related to you. I'm not related to you. I can marry my mother. I can marry my sister. I can marry the aunt and uncle, brother, daughter, all the relatives. And guess what? Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, see you later. I don't know from you. I'm not related to you. We have no connection. There's no yichus of the ovois. Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, the shiftei ka. In order that we should be related to the ovois, the zuchus ovois, the gerus of Klal Yisrael had to be an invalid gerus. A partially invalid gerus. If it's not a valid gerus, we're still related. A goy is a goy allowed to marry their mother? No way. Sheva mitzvah noyach. If a goy marries his mother, he's chayiv misa. The yichus is there. It was by design an incomplete gerus. Therefore, we have zuchus avos Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Now, here's the problem. This is unbelievable. Now, next part. What does it say after my? What does it say after Matan Torah? Everyone's related. They're all related. I'm related. They come down after Matan Torah. Oh, you know who I'm married to? I didn't realize this. I'm married to my aunt. Well, before Matan Torah, I was allowed to be married to my aunt. But now that it's after Matan Torah, I'm not allowed to be married to my aunt. I have to divorce my wife. This guy's married to his this one, to his all these things. But what does the pasuk say? Bachu l'mishpechosav. They came to Moshe bitter. They cried. We want to continue remaining married to our relatives. What did you do to us? You gave us the Torah, and the Torah tells us we can't marry them. I can't marry these people. We're married for 30, 40, 50 years. You're telling us to get divorced? Moshe says, yeah, that's right. Too bad for you. Get divorced. I'm sorry. You have no choice. You have to get divorced. That's the Torah. They were crying. It destroyed lives. That's what it says. Bochu l'mishpechosav. They were crying. Now, wait a minute. Why are we crying? We're gerim. We're not related to each other anymore. We're gerim. No, you're not gerim. Did you accept the Torah willingly, or were you forced to accept the Torah? Kafa aleim har kegigis. You were forced. So you're not gerim. You're still related. So you're, if you were full-fledged ger, if you're fully a full-fledged, then you're not related. You're a new person. You're not a ger. Jews are not really gerim. You go back to the avos. You're nishta he nishta her. So you're still related. You're still related to the avos. You're related to your, to this one. You got to divorce your daughter, whatever it is. You got to get divorced. You got to separate. The people didn't like that. They didn't accept it. Now listen to this. By not accepting it, what were they in essence saying? It would better be that we accepted it willingly. We love Judaism. We love it. We're very angry at Hashem that He forced it upon us. We would have been willing to accept being Jews willingly. I know what the price would be. Why? Because I want to remain married to my wife. And I'm willing to give up Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov to remain married to my wife. I love my wife so much, I'm moichel Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Bochu lemishpechaysav. They were crying. They rejected this. They were bitter that Hashem forced them into this. They were bitter that Hashem made the geirus such that it wasn't a good geirus. They would have preferred that it be a real geirus. And if it be a real geirus, oh, I'm a full-fledged Jew. I love Judaism. I'm a full-fledged Jew. I'm now a new person. I'm a born-again Jew, for real. I'm a new person. I'm not related to this woman. I can remain married to her. And know what the cost is? The cost, so no, I'm not related to Avraham. All right, so I'm not related to them. I'm not related to them. Big deal. That was the danger. That was the problem. What is the Egel? Komu litzachek. Chazal make it clear as day. The only reason why they made the Egel was because they wanted to remain married to their wives. Gilui arayis. Rashi. Tzachek ein tzachek el l'shoin gilui arayis. The purpose of making the Egel was a technique, a way to make a religion, a new religion with new rules, where they can engage in gilui arayis. By making the Egel, what in essence they were saying is, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, see you later, buddy. Goodbye. We're not related to you anymore. We wanted it. We reject the fact that we want arayos. It was the ultimate expression of Bochul l'mishpachaysav. It was the ultimate revelation that we're frustrated. What did you do to us? We were married to women. Now we have a religion. We can't remain married to these women because we're related to them. Why? We could have had the best of both worlds. We could have accepted Yadus willingly. We would be Gerik Shneskar, and we can remain married. And then we would not need to go to Avodah Zarah to go have Gilead Rice. We could have had the way everything would have been good. Of course, there's a price to pay. The price to pay is get rid of the other. So we're not related to you either. By making the Egel, it was a rejection of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Halfway of fella. And now you appreciate Moshe's defense. What did Moshe say when Hashem says, Mocheini na, misifrich asher kosafta? What was Moshe's first words? Zichor! Le'Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. The bottom line is, Ribbono shel Olam, you're stuck. Checkmate on you, Hashem. Checkmate on you. Because the bottom line is, you forced them. And you forced them, it means they're related to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Too bad for you, Hashem. Zuchus avos. You can't destroy them. They maybe want to be destroyed. Okay, that's their problem. But the bottom line is, you were kaf aleim har kegigis. So it wasn't a good geirus. It wasn't a good geirus. No, these are the eneklach of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. You stuck, Hashem. Checkmate on you. It's unbelievable how all the pieces fit together. And it comes at a tremendous, chiddush. Tremendous chiddush is what happens by Purim? They were mekabel, no more being forced. Because of the love of the miracle of Purim, they were mekabel in Purim, the ahava. What does that mean simply? It means, we don't need Hashem to cough aleim harkigis. That's not true. If Klal Yisrael by the yontif of Purim would have ahava, would have love, we don't want to cough aleim harkigis, we would be in a lot more trouble. We wouldn't have the zuchus avos. According to this, you know what it means that the yontif of Purim, it was a yontif when they had love, they renewed their vows. They said, Ribbono shel Olam, we're no longer bocha al mishpacha Esav. We thank you for forcing us to receive it. That was the love. It's not like the pashup shot. Oh, we don't need any more hierarchy. We love the Torah. No. We're so thankful for you that you forced us to receive the Torah. Wife, out the door. I don't need the wife. I don't mean it like that, obviously. It means the love is that we're no longer in a matzav of bochu al mishpichoisav. That's why the whole Yom Tov of Purim is all about mishpacha. Mishpacha, mishpacha. You bring the Mishalach Manas, the Nusach of the Megillah is over and over, mishpacha. What's shat mishpacha? It's no longer bochu al mishpacha yisaf. We accept the rules on your terms. What you call the mishpacha is a mishpacha. And therefore, if I'm not allowed to marry, I'm not allowed to marry. Because you forced us. You forced us. We're related. We're mishpacha. And who are the patriarchs? Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Zichor li Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Incredible chiddush. This opens up a whole new world. And when you understand why Hashem was kaf alim har kegigis, Klai Yisrael didn't need it. They said nasa v'nishma. Hashem says, I want to ruin the geiris for you. Because I'm not going to ruin it. You're going to be in a lot of trouble because you're going to need the Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And indeed, that was the silver lining. Because then when they showed their frustration, Moshe was able to say, Taka. Zechor li Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov. Have a wonderful Shabbos.
I was under the impression that they it was an overlay. You know, they took and they put plain. But they actually
no.
So it was actually
pure gold, 100%. They don't have gold. Pure gold, through
and through. And so, if the Jews were not,
thank you.
If there was a question about the book. Their being gay, so what was the status of the Jews for up until Purim? They weren't they considered real Jews, real Hebrews?
It's an abstract. But the point is very. But
so
it's the 40th day. Moshe's not dying, right? So they say Moshe died. So the Babbages say, no, Mashiach didn't die, right? And the Satmar say, who's Moshe? The guy who wants to love Zeresh Israel? And the Amshinavah say, there's another 6 hours, don't worry. The Amshinav has the and the Svardim say, rely on the satellite.
He just left.
He said Moshe was,
Avadya
was transmitted all over by. They used to transmit a shiur for Avadya all over.
So Moshe will transmit a shiur to us.
Right. And the Belzer says, we have our own golden path. So who was left? The Breslover said, it doesn't make a difference if the guy's dead, right? But the Woodstock said, it's the Shkia ready, it's the Shkia.
The Litvak today.
Yeah,
I like it very, very much.
That's also a show.
It's a good one. I like it. The Litvak.
Yeah.
I also went to Rome in the office. I don't know who said that, and I.
So Lechera, if you see the Kafale and Hakagias, why can't we do a gear today?
Well, the bottom line is not halacha. Bottom line is halacha is it has to be rotzon. If it's even worse, if it's too much of an incentive. And that's the problem. Why would I want the MS today? 90% of the people, 90% of the games is one of them.
Because
of the and 90% of the body demon, okay, you can do it, but you should understand that you're on trial. After you're going to do the games, you're going to get married. If you, if that was a version to the sour, and you go right back to the way you came to the holding, that means you really weren't sincere. And retroactively,
if
the gear is void.
Yeah, right. If you don't do the Kiddush Yavayim after the tefillah, how? You have to be.
If you don't do after you break up with your girlfriend, that's what it is. Once you're a Jew, you're a Jew. Don't do that anymore. Right? Almost most of the population is not being successful. I would go to bed only again. They would go through the, what are you doing? They would only go through the activities.
And you remember?
Say, I'm sorry, how much time is on the internet? Oh, do you know? VIN number has a VIN number.
Not only VIN, every car number today has the computer. There's also a chip for, so you can do the
so what
GPS chip.
You don't need anything anymore today.
Right, right.
You don't need anything today.
Right.
It's already there. Technology is already there.
What tickets for
China? Technology is going to change the world.
I gave you one of those Lubavitcher safe and release. They have here.
What do you got? What's the safe one? Come on, what are you doing? No. Oh, here. This?
Yeah.
I'm not a person.
I'm looking for the other one.
Yeah. That was part.
So you.
After they cleaned it up. Yeah. I had my blood and somebody was done with the door.
finish it, I'll give it to you.
One.
16 secrets.
16?
Rabbi Blech.
Which Rabbi Blech?
All of them are true for Benjamin.
New book?
No.
The 16
secrets?
Old.
Yeah,
but, it's a good book?
Yeah.
What's it about?
The Michelangelo and all his work in the 16th.
Was he Jewish?
And all the Jewish mysticism.
He wasn't Jewish. He was a mamzer.
Who?
Michelangelo.
Right.
Right. Wasn't he?
I'll
so was Yashka. Yashka was also mamzer.
They were fook. That's why the reformer tried to
back
make
to
a
fook.
The
bringing
of the Blessed Woman Freya. On Yashka, you have a Freya. So I wonder about the word of the Mamza. A Mamza and a Mamza.
Right.
A Mamza and a Mamza. Both together.
How you say
the worst of the worst. That's what I'm worried about.
Basically, I took it off and put my
worst of the worst. What was it like? He was born his mother?
But
it was double-double.
It
was the worst of worst. That's what happened to Amalek. Amalek was a practice of such a dumb animal. Shagoyim. You get an Amalek.
No one counts.
Thank you.
No one counts.
Amalek.
We ate by baguette.
It's amazing.
Eat
the Holocaust.
Baguette on milky and raw. I loved it. I'll tell you what
the
order.
What?
Not people
stuffed up my wife would never want here. It's an honor. It's called Jewish honor.
Kids are not happy because of the guy that didn't get away with the
funny thing.
The suspects.
You know how we go out and eat Italian
boys.
Chinese. Go
down.
The Italians go out and eat Jewish. And they have something called Jewish honor.
I collected it, I have them.
I had made friends at lunch at this waitress from the military.
He said this to them, and they were little kids.
We used to go to a kid like this and say, I took your nose with them, and they get upset about it.
You know, actually, Janice, you know, the story, Janice says that to took from kids all over the world.
The kids were saying it's a force.
I had noticed the night.
No, but I think they knew. He told me.
Everybody
was saying. He spoke to me. They got it.
So she said, you have to try it.
What did you do wrong? What did you do wrong?
I can't.
Throw out the flowers I bought last week.
Ooh.
No, I said, it's time.
It's time.
I don't do wrong. I just
that was
don't
a hint?
Want to,
that was a hint?
No, I just don't want to walk back to my car. When you can't find the spot close, I bring them in here.
Okay,
when
man,
I
have a good job.
Ocean Avenue, I drop them off first.
Go ahead.
But I'm three blocks away.
Parking? So
I have an
table?
Easy answer
what?
To the dilemma. First gear is different.
All right. So I brought them in here.
Don't we answer a lot of things like that?
It's not a real Garris, obviously. It's a symbolic Garris. All right, that's it.
Okay, have a good Shabbos.
Shabbos.